Hello and welcome to the Back to Movement podcast. I'm your host, Bernadette, and this show features everything you need to know about back pain, fitness, wellness, and movement science. It's all evidence-based, bringing you the latest scientific research along with expert tips so you can live pain-free. How can cognitive behavioral therapy support your journey to recovering from back pain? Today, we'll explore this topic with a very special guest. I am so excited to introduce you to Veronica Zimmerman, who is a psychotherapist specialized in cognitive behavioral therapy. Veronica, thank you so much for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you for having me here.
I so appreciate that. And Veronica, tell us your story. Why did you become a CBT therapist?
Well, after many years of using different type of approaches, you know, evidence-based, of course, in my therapy sessions, I noticed that CBT had the most transformative effect in my clients, specifically for anxiety, depression, trauma, and eventually pain, right? Because pain is exacerbated by anxiety.
Yes, absolutely. Before you became a CBT therapist, you were using a different method with your clients?
Yeah, I was using different types of therapy techniques, but CBT became the most appropriate for most of my clients, especially because of the type of clients I have. They suffer mainly from anxiety, so I definitely switched mostly to CBT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. So how is CBT different than other methods?
Well, as you know, CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, it helps patients to understand unhealthy patterns of thoughts in order to understand how thoughts are affecting their feelings and their actions. Mm-hmm. By being aware of them, right? By being aware of your thoughts and challenging, it helps you to recognize that you have that power to influence your behavior, to influence your actions, to influence your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So CBT helps clients to accept that thoughts have control over all that, feelings and behavior, and it can improve how you manage your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. So we can actually influence, even if we have negative thoughts, we can actually change that, or just makes us aware of the situation, or how should I imagine this?
Well, you're speaking specifically about pain or about your situation?
No, just in general.
Well, in general, do you see your reality based on your core beliefs that you have learned throughout your whole life? Like, if I do this, this is going to happen to me. You learn to catastrophize also. You think, well, I can't do that because the world is going to end, or I'm going to die because the world is not safe, right, anymore. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. In CBT, what we do is that we try to challenge those beliefs by challenging the way your thoughts are created, and that you accept those thoughts. It's like, okay, and by the way, you do accept your thoughts because you don't want to resist them. You accept that, okay, I'm having this negative thought because I had a negative experience in the past. So mm-hmm. You start feeling very anxious, but you know, your mind is in control. This is what we teach you, right? Your mind is in control of your emotions. You need to learn how to cope with that uncomfortable moment.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting you say that. I'm going to go sideways a little bit. Because I always had this fear of flying before. Mm-hmm. And we moved to Australia, which is a little bit far. So anyway, and I specifically had a fear of flying over water. Mm-hmm. Because for some reason, I don't know, I never had any bad experience with water, you know. But the thought, if we die or if we crash, we're not just going to straight away crash, you know, and I'm going to suffocate. And I had this imagination, you know, and my thoughts were just, yes. So I had to work on that because it really affected me the way I was traveling. I was anxious. I didn't feel good. It really took me a long time to overcome this fear. Sometimes it gets me still. Mm-hmm. But then I have this feeling of, okay, I'm safe, I'm going to be good, but it still takes time. I tell my husband, don't talk to me now. I just have to deal with this emotion right now. So it is about accepting the situation and accepting your feelings and not kind of like push them away or push
not
them aside.
Resist them, right.
Okay. I understand. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, it takes the, like you said, it takes the edge away.
Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
can work on it. Like, let me work through this feeling. I know it's uncomfortable, but yeah. I've done this before. I'm safe.
Exactly.
Just let it go. Yes. Like a wave.
Yep, absolutely. It takes me, and sometimes gets me more. Some flights are better than other flights. Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly. Can you explain a little bit how cognitive behavioral therapy works?
Well, cognitive behavioral therapy works by challenging your negative thinking patterns. We explore the way you are accepting your reality or mm-hmm. accepting your conditions. The conditions mm-hmm. around you, and then how do you process them in your brain, and then how does that make you feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we see an erroneous pattern of thought, we challenge those thoughts, and through different techniques, we make you reframe, that's the word, mm-hmm. we make you reframe those thoughts so you can have a better functionality in your mm-hmm. life, so you're not limited that much into the stuff that you need to do.
I understand. So first step is acceptance. That's what you said. So we have
yes.
to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For example, when we are dealing with back pain, okay, this is the thing that now I have to deal with. First is accepting it, like any situation in our life, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
Perfect. And why do you think it, or why is it helpful? Because even research supports the idea that cognitive behavioral therapy can actually support your journey to recovering from back pain. But why can be helpful for people with chronic low back pain?
Why could be helpful? What you think and how you accept your reality has a big impact in how you function. So by noticing, by accepting that you suffer from a condition, you know, chronic condition, instead of intensifying that fear, right, mm-hmm. you manage to control the level of fear that you have from this effect by saying, okay, I am not in danger. I just feel uncomfortable. And my brain somehow is putting me into this hypervigilant state to save me.
Mm-hmm.
So you make your brain your friend, not your enemy. You're like, okay, you're here to protect me. I know this is a discomfort, but it's making it worse. So I'm going to accept it. I'm going to live through it. And by just thinking that, your levels of anxiety go down and therefore your pain will decrease. It's not saying that you're going to cure your pain, but it's going to manage your intensity.
Mm-hmm. You said something really important, protecting. So I do believe that pain in a way is protecting us, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have pain, we don't move more than our pain limit, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even in my classes, we always work within pain tolerance,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because in some way, I think pain is not necessarily a bad thing. Because it protects you moving more than you should. Like it protects you. If an exercise become really, really painful, that means that movement, your body is not ready for it, right?
Right, right.
So you should move more. Like if you're trying to do a split now, I'm mm-hmm. sure your body would tell you if you're not used to doing splits, you need to stop here, otherwise there is going to be more damage.
You're going to damage yourself, right?
Exactly, right? So that's a really, really good point. You said that it kind of like protects you in a way.
Correct. And it is there to protect. If you can understand that part, then you're not fighting the process. You're like, okay, I understand. That another thing for CBT, it's mindfulness, awareness of what's going on. So that's why it's also good in chronic pain to be aware of the situation of your pain. And why is it there in the first place, right?
Like you said. Yes, exactly. A lot of people with chronic back pain, including me, they think, how can talking or changing how I think possibly help with physical pain? What would you say to someone? What would you say to someone who feels skeptical about CBT?
Well, it's expected for someone who suffers from a physical pain to be skeptical about, oh, this mind exercise is going to change, it's going to take away
everything.
Especially because people tend to separate mind from body, right? They think that, okay, this is my mind, this is my body, I'm in pain, it has nothing to do with this. Unless I have a headache. But when in reality, they're intrinsically connected. And I don't know if you noticed, but lately there are more and more studies that show that sensing your mind and body has healing effects. And these are new waves of studies in neuroplasticity, meaning that your brain is, you can change your brain by changing the neural pathways. You have the power to control your feelings and even your pain. So there's people that really think CBT or mindfulness or that can really, really control the intensity of your pain.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And it is really interesting. And again, this is my personal experience, but my low back pain always showed up when I wasn't good emotionally. So the first episode of back pain, I remember I was living in Ireland away from home. I terribly missed my family. I was in my early 20s. I was 21. And I wasn't good. I wasn't good mentally. I wasn't good emotionally. My mom went through health difficulties as well at home, and I wasn't there for her. And I have this very close relationship with my parents. And I remember that I was anxious. Probably I was a little bit depressed as well. I was working long hours, 13-hour shifts. And for some reason, I feel like my back pain always shows up whenever I don't feel good mentally as well. Not just physically, you know, but mentally. I realize that when I have so much going on, always turns up when my husband suddenly has to travel for work and I am by myself with my son. You know, I feel like, oh, my back doesn't feel right. But now I think back and always turned up at the worst possible time. So I can definitely relate that it has definitely to do something with our mental well-being.
Yes, and sometimes we internalize guilt. Like, I cannot be there with that person right now that needs me instead. I'm working all these hours and I'm, you know. So the mental processes the work in a very mysterious way.
Absolutely.
So being aware of them, it's one of the first steps to get better, you know, to understand, okay, this is not all about that. This is happening and this is happening and this is happening in different, lines. So this is what I can control right now. I can control everything.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So when pain flares up, it can feel like your stress skyrockets and, stress actually can make pain worse, right? We all know that. We even have studies on that. So how can CBT help break that cycle? What do you do?
One of the first things when you have a flare up is to use the basic techniques, because you cannot go so much in depth with your CBT techniques. But number one is the breathing, controlled breathing, awareness, mindfulness. Be aware of the situation, because in CBT we target a fear avoidance, right? Oh, this is happening, so I cannot do that. And then your anxiety goes higher and higher and higher. And this is going to lead me to catastrophic consequences, right? So with pain, we fear that if we do this activity, it will lead to more significant pain. So by being aware, like the first thing is the breathing, the being aware and the reframing of what's happening, like reframing meaning I am saved, I'm just going through discomfort. This is one of the first things you need to do in a flare-up to understand. These are the first steps and very few minimum steps that you can do, right?
Yes, that's great. Mm-hmm. Do you use a specific breathing?
Well, it depends on every patient. Some patients, they have problems with the stomach. Mm-hmm. Others have chronic pain, like it's in the back. But if breathing technique, one of my favorite ones is, of course, the belly breathing, the diaphragmatic mm-hmm. breathing, which sounds really easy until you practice it, right? You start... Kids are amazing at that.
Yes.
You just tell them, let's do belly breathing. Yes, I'm a frog. I'm a balloon. But for us grown-ups, you know, it takes a little bit more, especially if we suffer from pain, you know, it's harder to do the diaphragmatic breathing. So it depends on the client. But I would tell you to do the breathing, the diaphragmatic breathing. It kind of helps with your nervous system immediately, you know, to calm you.
Yes. It's really interesting you mentioned it's easier for kids. Do you think it's because they don't have any fear avoidance? They are not catastrophizing. They feel free.
Absolutely.
My son, he's 9, and we had a terrible flight a couple months ago to the US and over the Atlantic. And we were in very bad turbulence, like never in my life before. And we were jumping up and down. He enjoyed it. You know, like he was smiling.
A roller coaster.
Roller coaster. And I was sitting in the chair and I was like, oh my God. And he was like, oh, he was looking at me. Why am I scared? And he was just enjoying it. And I realized at that time, I need to learn from him how to be free, how to surf through this. And he didn't understand completely. He was just looking at me. Why are you scared, mommy? You know, it's fun. And so do you think it's because they don't have that fear? Kids are fearless, right?
It's the perfect example of cognitive behavioral processing, right? It's how he thinks about the ride that changes his emotion. This ride is fun. It turned out to be better than I thought. You know, I thought it was just going to go, but now I'm going in a roller coaster and I'm enjoying the flight, right? In your case, what's going through your mind? This is unsafe. We're going to crash. This is horrible. So whatever goes through your mind, brain process is what creates your emotion. And that's CBT explained right there, the cognitive triangle. Thoughts, emotions, actions.
That's amazing. So you see, I just learned something new. That's amazing.
Yes.
Thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome.
So Veronica, we all know CBT therapy process is not a quick fix, right?
No.
I mean, if you see someone, they're not going to be fixed, right? Once. So what should someone expect when starting a CBT therapy, and how do they stay motivated when progress feels slow? Because sometimes it's slow, right?
Of course. We can start by understanding that chronic pain isn't one-size-fits-all model, just mm-hmm. like therapy, you know, like problems with clients. But just like every other technique, you know, even going to the chiropractor, it's a process. It takes time. It's just the same with mental processes. We can change eventually your schema, you know, the pattern of thinking, by repetition, by positive affirmations, rearranging, reframing, because our brain has that plasticity. But it takes time. You cannot just say, okay, I'm going to start a diet today. By tomorrow, I expect to lose 10 pounds. Right? It would be possible.
Would be amazing, right?
But understand that the process takes time. So that's my advice. Like, to just, if you think like that, if you have that, it could get you motivated. Today, I'm going to start with this. Tomorrow, I'm going to practice more, you know, and so forth. This is going to take me to my goal.
Yes.
It's going to make me take control of my thoughts.
So you mentioned practice. Do you give homework to your clients or patients?
Oh, yes, of course.
Really? Tell me about that.
Well, I have different type of clients. So like I say, it doesn't fit all, right? Mm-hmm. But some of them, get them to do, besides mindfulness, as a must, you have to do your mindfulness five
yes.
minutes. I have them to change their inner talk. you know, mm-hmm. like be aware of that self-dialogue that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is besides reframing your thoughts, are you aware when you do something like that? Because there are specific cases. Okay, so when that comes up, I want you to be aware of it. And how are you taking it? What are you saying in your mind? Write it down, you know, so they have to write down their patterns of thoughts. And when this happened, I thought this is the first thing that came to my mind. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Says, I'm not judging. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what's going on. And then we mm-hmm. process it during session. Also positive self-talk, affirmations. I mm-hmm. send them a little video. I want you to listen to this a little mm-hmm. bit. You know, at the beginning, they feel resistance. Oh, this is not me. Oh, this is laughable. You know, I don't know why I'm listening. Yeah. It's so yeah. lame. But the more they do it, they start feeling more confident.
Mm-hmm.
And they see results. So that's why CBT is so amazing. And that's why I stuck with CBT, because I see changes in my clients. I see people that couldn't even move or get out of the house. They're already able to, yeah, they take Uber, they can drive, but they're able to get out of their mm-hmm. Zone. And that's what
yes.
the power of the mind. You know,
yes. Oh, absolutely.
Thinking and how you change your negative patterns of thinking.
Yes, yes. Perfect. Thank you. And how can CBT help people think differently? We already touched based on that, but how they can think differently about their pain. So if someone is in pain, can you give them advice how they should, what they should think, what they should do? So it's kind of like, you know, pain maybe is not their enemy or, but something they can work with. Can you give them some tips or how they should think? Not should, but how they can think differently.
They can think. Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. You can think differently, right? You can say instead of the pain is your body mechanism to protect you. We spoke about it a little mm-hmm. earlier. And by repeating in your mind, by saying, you know, this is an uncomfortable symptom, but I'm not in danger. I'm just feeling uncomfortable. So you take out the mind from, I'm in danger, I'm going to die, to I'm very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. a big difference, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what I would say, you know, we had already spoken about that hypervigilant state and how you can manage that just by saying, the pain is not my enemy. The pain is supposed to protect me, but I know that it's uncomfortable and it's not going to kill me.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And when I learned, you know, how to treat patients with chronic low back pain or any chronic pain, the fear of movement can be very scary. You know, I mean, they are fearful of movement, you know, it's there. But even when you are in pain, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are damaging your tissues. Pain doesn't equal tissue damage. Unless you have fracture, you know, you've fallen right. off a tree or
trauma.
You had a car accident or, you know, you have a specific injury. That's a different story, of course, you know. But if you are talking about pain you already had for years, months, it doesn't mean pain doesn't equal tissue damage. Of course, we work within pain tolerance and that's really important, right? So we are not squeezing you. We are not pushing you. We are working in your limits. And everyone's limit is different because pain is subjective, right? Your pain tolerance is different than my pain tolerance,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
We are all different and unique. Yes. There is no one size fits all when it comes to pain or when it comes even to treatment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes, perfect. So we all have that inner voice that can be pretty harsh when we are struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does CBT help change self-talk so it becomes a tool for healing instead of criticism?
Yes.
Like, for example, give me a tip for my plane rides, please. And then we can talk about chronic back pain too.
Okay, so that inner critic, right? Well, if I have to put it into the situation of the plane ride, it's like... I would say it's catastrophizing more than like
Absolutely.
Negative self-talk.
Yes.
I would think that that's just the idea that the worst outcome is going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like changing your self-talk is like saying, I have done this before. I know I will be safe. This is from taking me from A to B. And I know I don't like it because it makes me feel unsafe, but I am safe. So mm-hmm. it's like I'm acknowledging that this is an uncomfortable time for me. I don't like it, but I know I will be fine, right? But when you talk about the inner critic, it's a little bit, you know, like taking it out of that context is like sometimes we think I am not good enough. I will never be able to function, right? I will never, with this pain, I'm just going to lose all social connections because this is just, it's not okay for me. You know, the worst is going to happen. So everything is like heightened right there. So that inner critic, be aware of it. It's like the inner critic is trying to protect you, but at the same time is damaging you because it's limiting your functionality, you know. And the study shows that negative self-talk can associate with higher level of stress, anxiety, right, and general well-being. So first of all, understand that your negative self-talk is there for a reason. And sometimes negative self-talk could be there to make you better, a better person, right? Just, like to my kids, I said, you can study harder, right? You're not a loser. You just did bad.
You work harder. Yes.
Yes, just work harder. So, but understand that when you're self-doubting, when you're feeling, you're putting yourself down and you just think that this is never going to get anywhere, understand that that's your inner critic talking and trying to protect you. But in reality, you know, you can go beyond that and say, yeah, I know you're protecting me, but you're limiting me. You're limiting my functionality. And I know I can tolerate, like now talking about pain tolerance. I know I can, and with CBT, you can also increase your tolerance, right? But repetition by exposure, we have something called exposure. So if you don't do all these little exercises, you stay in the same place, right? You will stay in the same place. So first, understand what are your patterns of thinking. So there, understand your inner critic. What is he saying to me today? Is he trying to protect me or is he trying to limit limit me into doing things that I really want to do and that I know I can do, that I know I can do despite of the discomfort?
Yes.
Right?
It's kind of like when you start something new and you have to expose yourself in order to get better at something. You have to practice it, right?
Of course.
With anything, with physical activity, you get better at it because you practice it. You learn something new and you improve yourself, right? Now, really important, you mentioned, do we all have this self-criticism? Or we, like every human being is different, right? Some of us have more than others, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's a general thing. I think everybody has the inner critic. Even when you forget your keys at home. Oh, my God, I'm so stupid. What did I knew. Oh, probably I forgot also the windows open. So there's this little voice inside you. Or like you wake up and like, oh, another day. Oh, no, it's going to be a bad one. So, but yeah. That's something that everyone has. But, of course, some people have trained themselves to think very positive, to reframe their thoughts into more neutral ones or positive ones, which is great. But it's normal to have an inner critic. And again, that's another mechanism there to protect you, right? Like you could do better next time. You're better than this.
Yes.
You were so terrible today. Like when you say, I look at my podcast, I was laughing because I'm like, that would happen to me right at the beginning when I started with therapy. I was like, probably was very nervous. And now if I have to see myself now through experiences and through practices, you become a lot more eased, you know, and more comfortable with your own body. Same thing with your brain.
Exactly. And that's very important. What you do if you get out of your comfort zone, you get more confident.
Yes. CBT increases confidence in all clients.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same as, in a way, physical activity as well. Because we all get confident, not just because we do something that's, you know, hard work per se, But also then we look good as well in our bodies because we started, you know, looking after ourselves.
And that's motivational.
Exactly. That's it.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Great. And
great analogy.
Yes. And what's one thing about CBT that surprises people who try it for specifically for pain? Not specifically for back pain. I'm not sure if you see anyone specifically for back pain, but for pain, maybe something they didn't expect to work, but it really does.
I think they realize after the practice a little bit of CBT that they can manage their pain through the brain process, through your thought processes. And when they come in with skepticism that, okay, this is not, I'm just wasting my time, but then they do it and they not only feel a little bit more alleviated, they have more clarity in the mind, because pain sometimes it makes you very foggy and you can't focus or concentrate, right? And you're living your life in a negative mind if you're just taking the pain as a negative thing. But you can lead a positive life with a negative thought all the time. So I think they realize, okay, so this is not going to really help me take away my pain, but now I can live my life. Now I can manage the pain. Now I can increase pain tolerance. Now I can understand where this is coming from. Why is it getting worse every time I think of certain things, even though at the beginning I have this little pain, but now it's increased because now I'm worried about all these different aspects in my life that I have no control over at this point. And I'm internalizing them and showing them as pain, increased
yes.
pain.
Yes. I think what you said in the beginning was really important, that awareness
yes.
makes a huge difference. If you are aware of your thoughts, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And it's very interesting that last week I had my yearly checkup at my doctor here in Dallas. And out of curiosity, I actually did ask her, how do you treat patients? Or do you treat patients with low back pain? And her response was shocking because she said, oh, we are not treating them. We are just sending them straight to the specialist because they are not prescribing strong medications for people with low back pain. Well, the thing is, actually, primary care physicians, they do have evidence-based guidelines to follow when it comes to treating people with, low back pain. Mm-hmm. And what I actually wanted to say with this one is, if you don't tell people what contributes to pain, like mental health, anxiety, depression, maybe they just have too much going on, you know, like what I did, other medical conditions, they should be able to treat any chronic pain or anything in a primary care setting. And I'm again not talking about fracture. If they have fracture, they don't walk into the primary care physician, right? They probably go straight to the emergency room. It's a surprise. If you tell someone what contributes to pain, they are actually aware and they can do something about it, right? And that's what you mentioned, awareness. It's really important to be aware of your thoughts as well. And when it comes to chronic pain or chronic low back pain, if you are aware of the things that can contribute to chronic pain, you actually know what to do.
That's right.
Isn't that right? And it's really powerful. It's really powerful.
And
if you
right.
educate your mm-hmm. clients, your patients, that, hey, be aware, like you educate your clients, be aware of your thoughts. And they didn't even think mm-hmm. they should do that, write down their thoughts. Like, mm-hmm. why would I do that? You know?
Yeah, correct.
It's weird.
Yes. But I totally agree with you with the type of approach that you have with different people. I'm very into favor of surgery when you have a broken bone that cannot be fixed. But if you have pain from tension, Because if you think about it, you know, sometimes when we are nervous and we're anxious, we tense our muscles and we don't even know. Sometimes we're walking like this and we don't even know. And then when we come home, like, oh my God, what happened? Oh my God, I worked so hard. So it's all that tension there. And we have another exercise that I want to share with you, progressive muscle relaxation. I'm sure you know about that. So that one is
to tense your muscles and then relax.
Release.
I know that
tense
one, yes.
And release. So you, through that scanning in your body, you realize, my God, I have so much tension there. And usually anxiety is on your back, you know, it's so much in your back.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, absolutely. That's something that could be treated with not such aggressive intervention.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not talking about if someone that, you know, they fall off a tree or you had a car accident. It's of course you don't come and see me or any CBT therapist. But if you have pain for a while, chronic pain, that means there is something going on, something else is going on. And we should always treat the body. As you said, we cannot separate the body from the mind. Mm-hmm. Because we are a whole. And that's what I also learned when I went through my diploma. We should treat the person as a whole person framework. It's really important. And not just the body part. It's not just about the body part. It's about the whole person.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Bernadette. Correct.
Perfect.
100%.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica, for accepting my invitation.
Thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for tuning into the Back to Movement podcast with your host, Bernadette, and our very special guest, Veronica Zimmerman. We hope you find this episode insightful and learned more about how CBT therapy can play a role in recovering from back pain. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.